Well, thank you so much for once again inviting me to come and speak on this missionary service, this World Mission Service, as I saw it advertised, which is exactly what it is. We want to really take our time to really concentrate not only what's going on here in our locality, but right across the world. I think it's really important for us to remember that there are still 3 billion people that are totally unreached, totally untouched with the gospel message. No one to preach them. No one to tell them of Jesus Christ. And that's why New Tribes Mission exists, and other missions too, but New Tribes Missions exist to go and reach those people groups that have yet to hear of Jesus Christ. It still takes missionaries. I think a lot of people think that missionary work was done with the likes of Livingstone and Hudson Taylor and William Carey and some of those great heroes of the faith back then, but it's still not done. The Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, is very much alive and should be very much alive in our ears today. I'd like us to look in Scripture, first of all, before I talk a little bit about the mission, at Philippians chapter 1. I'm particularly going to concentrate on verses 7 and 8, but we're going to look at read the whole chapter because I think it's important to get the context of what Paul is talking about this here to the Philippian church. I think we need to remember that the whole subject we're going to be talking about tonight is partnership. The partnership of the church with the Christian worker. Partnership has been happening from the very beginnings of the church. Back in Acts chapter 13, you will remember that Paul and Barnabas were sent out by the church at Antioch. They were sent out, they were commissioned, they were sent out to preach the gospel. Partnership is a hugely important thing, and partnership is what we'll find here in Philippians chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. But let's read the scriptures first. It says there, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may prove things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that these things that happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and others also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer, and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, there that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ Jesus shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. The book of Philippians holds a very special place in my heart, and I may have told you, because it's not the first time I've preached from Philippians from this pulpit, but it holds a special place in my heart because it's one of those books that we learnt in Bible school. We had to learn lots of memory texts, and I used to hate that. You know, it's a wonderful thing to learn scripture, to learn it off by heart, but the actual learning of it was quite difficult for me. I'm not the greatest with memory. Memory class was from 8 o'clock to 8:30 in the morning, and my brain doesn't really function that well at 8 o'clock in the morning. But nevertheless, learning scripture, understanding scripture, having it, committing it to memory is a wonderful thing, isn't it? To have those scriptures come back to you at dark and difficult times, particularly a book like the book of Philippians. And the book of Philippians was the whole book that we had to learn. And I remember having a very lenient person mark my paper at the end of it, in my wife, thankfully. And she let me get away with one or two mistakes, I believe. But it became a book that I loved, because you learn it and you have it and it's just there. You think of a verse and almost certainly comes from the book of Philippians. You know, it was a wonderful thing just to learn scripture. I love Bible school. The daily teaching of God's word could not help me turn my own sort of selfish life around. Bible school even brought me into contact with the wonderful woman that would eventually become my wife. And it also brought me a realization that I needed to make my life, and more importantly than anything else, count for Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit in Bible school was at work through the word. The Holy Spirit, I hope, is at work through the word in your lives. You know, as well as memorizing many useful verses of scripture, the big test was how you use that scripture. Were you going to walk in the way of scripture? There's a great advantage just learning this small book and how it's been used in since that time. And what a beautiful book it is. It's in a sense like a love letter from Paul to the church at Philippi, this poor persecuted church, this church that was grasping what the new truths that Paul was sending him, but yet they were under fire. And yet they were a group too that was shining brightly, as you see later in chapter 1. And here we read in verses 7 and 8, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I wonder, can you hear Paul's heartbeat right there? Can you hear his heartbeat? His heart is pounding for this church in Philippi. In chains, not mindful of his own condition, he's holding a church over 1,000 miles away by road in his heart. He's holding them there. He's yearning for the church at Philippi. You know, we used to sing the old family hymn as a family. Blessed be the tie that binds, that our hearts in Christian love, this fellowship of kindred minds, is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers. Our fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes. We share our mutual burdens bear. And often for each other's flows this sympathizing tear. It's beautiful, isn't it? That fellowship, that bond that we have in Jesus Christ. It's an incredible bond. One that we should all have between one another as his church, as his people. And this is what Paul had with the church at Philippi. And with all the churches that he had a part in planting around the then known world. A kind of unity that we should expect between us as church members. This was true partnership in the gospel. Yet I think so often there's another piece of poetry that was written some time ago, and we can better to relate to it often as modern churches, can't we? To dwell above with saints we love, well, that will be eternal glory. To dwell below with saints we know, well, that's a different story. That's the reality, isn't it, so often? It's amazing that even within our churches where we should have these bonds of love, there are arguments, there are things that are going on that just fester, and we hold between ourselves. And that love and that bond is broken such all too often. Church splits, arguments, infighting, all of these things. Yes, we aspire to the kind of strength of partnership, of relationship that Paul had with the church at Philippi. But we know so often that our relationships fall short, don't we? There is strength in this partnership, a strong bond, so apparent in the language that he uses here. I have you in my heart, he says. How greatly I long after you all, he says, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Paul later says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, Philippians 4:1. He held them there. He held them in his heart. In some cultures around the world, that would be his liver, that innermost being, that part of us that is the seat of our emotions. He held them there. He held the people of Philippi right there within his heart. Do you hold the people of God in your heart? Paul says, God is my record or witness. So these are no glib comments, not phrases he just tossed around without any real thought. He didn't just say, oh, I have you in my heart. No. These were from the heart. This was truth coming from his innermost being. How easy it is to just throw out phrases of affection, isn't it? Very easy to say the words, yet nothing going on right here. Yes, I love you in the Lord. I will pray for you. Some of these comments. And yet we never pray. Paul says, God knows how I yearn. God can see that place you have in my heart. That affection that I have for you. God is my witness. You know, he knew. God knew exactly what was going on in Paul's heart. And he was able to say those words. This was real. There was godly depth in this relationship. It was a sure proof of who he was, a disciple, a follower of an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a follower of Christ. He was living out the words of his Savior when he said in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love for one another. If ye have love for one another. One commentator says that Paul was shackled with metal chains, but that was nothing in strength compared to the chain of love that bound him to the church at Philippi. That strength, more than metal chains that he was being bound with. Are we bound together like that? Is that the partnership that we have? Do we have those strong bonds of love between ourselves just like that? Do we pray like that old chorus? Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, Lord. With cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together with love. You know, as a church, We are a body of believers who need to be bound together as we face the challenges of this modern world. Do we realize that we have enough enemies without fighting amongst ourselves? We must be united in the truth of the gospel. We must be united in love. There will always be difficulties, of course there will. The devil will always do his best to destroy the unity of his church, won't he? It's happening now in my home church up in Grimsby. He will always seek to divide the sheep. Listen to what Paul says to the Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye work worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Another amazing thing is that this strong partnership, this bond that Paul and the church of Philippi had remained despite there being a geographical distance between them, more than 1,000 miles between them. This partnership crossed the Adriatic Sea westward to the far side of Greece. That was a long way. Yet the love wasn't any less, was it? The partnership wasn't any weaker. Even though they were miles apart, he was stuck in a prison. Even if Paul was set free from that prison at that time, there were no aeroplanes that he could return to Philippi. There would have been weeks of trekking. There would have been weeks where he would have been in a sailboat. All of this separated them physically, yet their hearts were as close as ever. There was no emails, no Facebook, no Instagram, no WhatsApp, as our family so enjoy. Just snail mail. And in those days, there was no next day delivery at all. Yet despite this separation, their partnership was so strong. That has to make you think of missionaries, doesn't it? It has to make you think of that. Think of those that this church supports and the way you've got behind us as a family over the many years. You've been with us from the beginning, from the days of Matlock in Derbyshire. You've been behind us. And that was just a mere 200 miles away. And then we went to the US and the church stayed behind us. We were there 3,500 miles away. Then to the Ivory Coast, 3,000 miles in the southerly direction. We were away, but the partnership remained. To Papua New Guinea, the other side of the world, 9,000 miles away. And yet this church remained behind us, the other side of the planet. Throughout these 26 years, going on 27 years of ministry, you have had us on your heart. You have prayed for us. You've supported us. You have loved us. You have been behind us. And even now in our ministry, as we work at North Coast, just a mere 300 or so miles away, we are so grateful for the relationship that we have with you as a church here at Cross Lanes. The wonderful fellowship that we can have and enjoy as we come back. We love you in the Lord. The distance doesn't matter. If the bond of gospel partnership remains strong, we must have love one for another with the affection of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Isn't it wonderful to be part of this great family, the Church of Jesus Christ? It's a wonderful thing. The great missionary hero, William Carey, once said this: I will venture to go, but you must hold the ropes. I will venture to go, but you must hold the ropes. He understood, didn't he, that he couldn't do it alone. He needed people who cared, people who loved Christ and his purposes as he did. People who could also see that there are peoples out there who needed to hear of Jesus Christ, who needed a preacher, where there was no preacher. He needed people to be on their knees in prayer. He needed people to be holding those ropes as people was preaching the gospel in far off lands. That's partnership in the gospel. So how do we see this partnership evidenced here in verse 7? Paul says, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the Gospels, ye all are partakers of my grace. Ye all are. All partakers. No, that means all the people within the believing church at Philippi were part of what was going on with Paul. They were partakers with Paul of grace, both in his imprisonment, but also in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. First, they had been partakers and experienced the same grace here we see. Amazing grace. I trust all of us tonight have experienced that amazing grace. Just like Paul did himself on the Damascus Road. And just like John Newton, the hymn writer, who writes that hymn. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. From those early converts like Lydia in Acts chapter 16 to the wider church that had been established there at Philippi, there were many who had now experienced God's wonderful transforming grace in their lives. I trust we can all say that with sincerity and truth tonight. I have experienced that wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Another couple of verses that we had to memorize in our memory class were these. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. But that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Isn't it great that it's nothing to do with us? It's all to do with God. It's all to do with grace. Doesn't matter our background, our status, our employment, our race, our varied personalities. It doesn't matter which people group we come from. We can all be partakers of the same grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, huh? It doesn't matter any of those things. It doesn't matter if we're homeless. It doesn't matter if we're a millionaire. We can equally share in that wonderful grace of Jesus Christ. Partakers. It's a wonderful word, isn't it? Partakers of that grace. The foundation of this partnership was the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is where every good, strong partnership must start. It does not come from a more solid foundation than that. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The second thing I see here is that here they are partakers in his imprisonment. Well, how can that be? They were not in the jail with him. They were not in chains. They were free, just as you and I are today. Yes, they were a persecuted church, but they were free. And Paul was in chains. How can they then participate in what was going on in that jail cell? What on earth was Paul saying here? How were they sharing in his imprisonment? How were they sharing in his bonds? Well, let's remember those bonds that we talked about earlier. Those chains that we talked about earlier. What were they made of? They were made of love, weren't they? We said that those chains were stronger in love. The church at Philippi was right there, in a sense, with Paul. Yes, they longed to be together physically, but spiritually they were already one. They were holding hands, as it were, within the prison cell. Their hearts were joined, even though they weren't there physically. They were chained with him. They were right there, remembering his bonds, lifting him up his prayers, sending gifts, letters of encouragement. They were doing all of those things, and they were partakers, absolutely. Now we too need to remember our brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution right now. So much persecution going on in our world. We think we have persecution here, but we don't have anything like what we're seeing in some parts of this world. The church had not abandoned Paul, and we must not abandon those who are out there suffering for the name of Jesus Christ. It's vital that we too partake in their sufferings. Our partnership with them is also crucial. These are those that are suffering. Our brothers and sisters, like in places like Eritrea. I remember talking to our pastor earlier this year, and we were talking about his friend who he'd done ministry with there at the Met Tab, and and just how he was just thrilled to hear see the video from Open Doors of just knowing that he was still alive and he was still okay. After for many years not hearing anything from this pastor. A pastor who, like Paul, was imprisoned for his faith, and for years there was no news. Yet you as a church prayed for that pastor, didn't you? And seeing that video showed that your prayers, that he was still okay. Partaking in suffering. As with Philippi, they were right there with Paul in the prison. They were right there. And we can too be right there in a prison in Eritrea with our brothers and sisters who are in prison in a place like that. We can be with our brothers and sisters in Northern Korea in those death camps. We can be there on our knees with them, praying on their behalf. Lord, use them. Use them for your glory in that place. Set them free. May the gospel witness go out to that godless land. We can be there united in heart with those of our Chinese brothers and sisters where persecution is increasing at this time. More and more churches being destroyed, more and more pastors being imprisoned. We can be there on our knees. Our brothers and sisters in Iran, and I know you have a strong connection as a church with Iran. We can be praying. We can be partakers in their suffering. Partakers. Thirdly, I see here partakers in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Partakers in the ministry. Paul's ministry had not stopped just because he was in prison, had it? Not by any means. Paul wasn't taking a break while he was there, just taking it easy. The gospel must be preached, and we find further on in this letter that we've read. Says there, verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that these things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Isn't that amazing? The gospel was going out right there from his prison cell. Even the palace guards were hearing of Jesus Christ. He was testifying to the truth of the gospel to those very imperial guards that were holding him captive. Far from just putting in his time, he was conducting a full-on prison ministry, wasn't he? Paul never quit or gave up on sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never once. And the church at Philippi, you too are partakers in that gospel ministry that I continue to have even from a prison cell. Partakers in the ministry. I've shared before the story of Jack and Isaac Douglas, and I make no apologies for sharing it again. Jack and Isaac Douglas went out to Papua New Guinea in 1970, a year before I was born, so a long, long time ago. And they went there and they went to go and reach the Hawaiian people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They spent many years in that place, learning the language, learning the culture, beginning to understand what makes a Hawaiian person tick, until they finally got to the point where they could actually preach the gospel. And many were saved, and churches were established, and now more than 1,000 believers in that people group in Papua New Guinea. But what was amazing to me was in them coming back was that the prayer letter that they sent, and that they were saying goodbye in their 80s for the very last time just a few years ago. And as they left in that aeroplane, the people were crowded out all around the airstrip. And they all lifted their hands in what is known as the Hawaiian salute in order to give respect to Jack and Isa as they left, leaving them with the New Testament, leaving them with churches, leaving them with the blessed hope of Jesus Christ. And they raised their hands in respect of Jack and Isa as they left. Two of the most humble people I've ever met. Never, ever bragging of what had happened, even though they are heroes in my book of the faith. I had the privilege earlier this year in January of going to Isa's funeral, a servant of the Lord all her life. And what a funeral that was. up there in Cumbria, a church that had stood with Jack and Isaac their whole lives. The whole missionary service, right from 1970 all the way to this year, this church had stood behind Jack and Isaac in true partnership in the gospel. And as we stood there, as Frank Brearley, my co-worker up there in Northcote, took the sermon, right at the end of the sermon, he got us all to stand. And he all got us all to raise our hands in the Hawaiian salute. What a picture of gospel partnership that was. What a picture of gospel partnership that was. A church that had been there the whole way, now raising their hands in the gospel, in the Hawaiian salute. Two people that had served their master all their lives. Yes, the church at Philippi were partakers in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. They were right there in Paul's prison in Rome. Yes, the church at Whitehaven, Cumbria, that was the church that I went to earlier this year. It were in partnership with Jack and Isaac Douglas, right there with them in their work amongst the Pawaya in Papua New Guinea. And yes, the church at Cross Lanes, Motbega, are partakers in the defence and confirmation of the gospel through those that you have partnered with, those that you have prayed for, those that you have got behind as they work to serve God Christ in the various parts of the world. I hope you believe that. Do you feel part of that great work of God around the world, not just here in your locality, way beyond? There is also, of course, need for partnership, not only to support God's work, but also to participate in what God's doing right here, right now. Paul and the Church of Philippi could partner because they were about the business of the defence and confirmation of the gospel in their city and beyond. There was still something going on in Philippi, wasn't there? There was a great work for Christ. The gospel was continuing to go on right there. There is a sense of this is not just left to the missionaries like Paul. It's not just to be left like to the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists. It's left to all of us, this great gospel ministry. So yes, we all must participate in getting the glorious message of the gospel out there to this village in the New Forest. To Motbega, to Ibsley, to Gawley, to down to Ringwood, to Fording Ridge, to the New Forest area. We must participate. People need to hear of Jesus Christ right here. We all must get to grips with the Great Commission. It is the Lord's command to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we dare not disobey, do we? His command to his church, to get out there, to get speaking of Christ, to preach the gospel, we must do it. We must prayerfully work out what our place is in this great work of God, in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. Paul says, even as it is meet for me to think or feel this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. What a great love between Paul and Philippi, that church there so far away. What a partnership in the gospel. Beneath the cross of Jesus, his family is my own. Once strangers, changing selfish dreams, now one through grace alone. How could I now dishonour the ones that you have loved? Beneath the cross of Jesus, see the children called by God. One beneath the cross, partners in the gospel. Let's just pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. We thank you for this great partnership that we can have in the gospel, just as Philippi and Paul had in those days of old. We thank you that we can also partner with people all around this globe who are bringing your precious gospel message to those that have never had a chance to hear. We thank you for this glorious message that sets people free from their sin and their darkness. It sets them free and gives them hope of heaven. Lord, may we be partakers. May we be those that participate in that great gospel message in bringing it to the world.